the latest council meeting, I don't know if you saw any of the video of it, we had a disabled veteran speaking to council, and I guess at this point that maybe you can't do anything about it, but it was disturbing to me. They were disrespecting the public speakers. They were on their phones. Marty grabs a big bag of snacks, and we have a lot of positive things going on. And for that video, I mean, thousands and thousands of people saw that. Can we put rules in council to, you know, stay off your cell phone and maybe no eating during the public speaking session?
Unfortunately, I have no control over the legislative branch. As the mayor of Atlantic City, I am the top administrator. So legislatively, or I can give a suggestion to council president and council that they would do something like that. I think that that video was very disturbing. I think that it sends a very ill and negative message to just not the locals here, but that thing went viral to a point where people are looking at Atlantic City again in a negative light. And I believe that because there are so many good and positive things going on, that it's a great opportunity for us to capture the hearts and minds of people to begin to show the world and our electorate that we are ready to move the city forward. And again, I don't basically pride myself, nor do I really talk about other people. But there is a level of professionalism that we have to have when we're in public meetings and doing the business of the city. So it was a very embarrassing moment for me, but I don't have the power or control to have the legislative branch induct those rules. But I think that it's a great opportunity to have that conversation, and I will have that conversation with the council president.
Let's talk about, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the MGM fund and scholarships. And to me, one of the big issues that really no one talks about is the $3 million, you know, missing. It was supposed to be a seed money, Mayor Gilliam, for this was right after Sandy, for Atlantic City residents to get low interest loans to help rebuild. And those loans never occurred. There's $3 million missing. Do you have any? I mean, I know it's still, I believe it's still in an active court case. Can you update on that, with that? And also with the scholarships, and some people are saying that the money wasn't allocated. What can you tell us about all this stuff?
Well, the $3 million, I have no idea in terms of where that is. Those things took place before I walked into the office. I do know that there is some pending litigation in and around that, so I'm not going to basically talk too much in depth about that. But the actual monies that President Small and former Mayor Don Guardian signed off on in November of 2017. The question that I've always had, number one, is if that was an agreement at that particular time, why didn't those monies go out then? Why would I actually have to be signing off, one, on agreements that the former mayor and the current president made last year? That's number one. Number two, I have yet to basically be able to see a contract pertaining to any of those dollars going out to any of those institutions. I want the listening radio world to know that I'm not purposely not signing off on checks to help organizations. What I am doing is making sure that the due diligence, and anyone knows that that fund has been a fund that has been very ostracized, even to the point that you just mentioned. There's $3 million missing out of those funds. So to protect the taxpayers as well as myself, I want to basically make sure I'm doing my due diligence and have those monies allocated to people in the appropriate manner. So as you just saw, for the first 3 months of my mayorship, it's been nothing but Mayor Gilliam has misallocated money, stole money. So you can almost know that I'm also shell shocked. So when I sign off on any money, I'm going to make sure that the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
Switching topics, Miss America has been, I mean, I since I've grown up. I mean, it's been sort of a staple part of Atlantic City. We had a lot of controversy happen with emails sent by the person in charge. There's a whole different cast of characters that are now running Miss America. I know when this first occurred, you said, you know, maybe it's time for Miss America not to be here and to allocate the funds that Creta uses for that in some other capacity. And then I saw you recently with a picture with Miss America. So where are we with Miss America in Atlantic City?
Well, personally, again, what I like to call the mismanagement and misutilization of words and how people look at women, I was very disturbed because I respect the trials and tribulations and the contributions that women have made, not just currently, but throughout history. Again, like you, I do believe that Miss America is a staple entity of Atlantic City. But then we sat down with Miss Gresham and the new leadership team to actually see how we could actually make lemonade out of these lemons. And this could be a great opportunity for Miss America, as well as the city of Atlantic City and others, to utilize this moment to capitalize on educating people about not being gender biased. It's an opportunity to basically, in my opinion, to help empower the women's movement. So I actually sat down and reasoned with myself, because you can't really just destroy something based on others' wrongdoing. But when I had the opportunity to speak with the new executive team, it made it very clear to me that they were basically trying to move in a different direction. I'm also in support of empowerment of women. So I think that Miss America does have a home in Atlantic City.
And one of the things that I really couldn't understand was that we had a veterans parade in Atlantic City, which occurred a couple of days before the air show. And in 2017, it did not occur. And we had a lot of other parades in Atlantic City. We had a failed Christmas parade that former Mayor Guardian had a float in. There's, to me, the veterans are our heroes. My heart goes out to all the families that send their children off to battle, and how many, you know, millions and millions have died for our country. Where do we stand with getting the Veterans Parade back, either the day before the air show or a couple days before? I know that's not necessarily on the top of anyone's list, but, you know, we're a few months out, so.
It's on my radar. I've been talking to various entities to find out if we can basically find the money to sponsor that. And you're absolutely right, King Arthur. There's no godly reason that we shouldn't be basically trying to actually do anything that we can for our veterans. We know that parade is very important for a lot of reasons. One, it symbolizes the fact that we have respect and reverence for those who've gone and sacrificed. The ultimate goal is their life, to make sure we have democracy, not just here in America, but around the world. So it's one of those things that I've been trying to find people and talk to folks to figure out how we fund something like that. I'm slated to have a conversation with Matt Daugherty, from the new incoming executive director for CRDA. I'll also basically broach that conversation next week at the board meeting to find out if we can basically get them to cover. I believe it's a $25,000 ticket, something like that, for to have the parade. That's pennies compared to what we should be doing for our veterans. It's not the Atlantic City Committee that has a issue with the mayor of Atlantic City. It's a couple of rogue members. There is this misnomer that the Atlantic City Committee does not support the mayor of Atlantic City. That's not true. This faction that has went out on their own to create this so-called committee isn't really a sanctioned committee. So I think that that's where a lot of folks basically thought that I lost support from the Democrats, which I have not. And I stated in my press conference, anyone that basically goes out to try to destroy a fellow Democrat, or even if it was a fellow Republican, can't really consider themselves as a party member, because, again, we should all be able to agree to disagree. And when you ever have a disagreement, you should not basically make that something that you want to hold so dear to your heart that you try to destroy a person with this fake news and things of that nature. But to your very point, the judge, like we assumed that he would see that there was no wrongdoing, because at the end of the day, like you said, I made it very vividly clear that it was an oversight and a mistake. We rectified the mistake as quickly as possible, and things should have just went on. But as you can see, this is more than just the $10,000 check. I think it's basically more to try to smear Frank Gilliam's name, which I think the judge has ruled is to help me at least try to clean up the mess that they created. And you know what else, King Arthur, I find very problematic? New Jersey is one of the few states that allow a citizen to go out and actually bring charges up on political figures. Now, that's a very dangerous situation, because think of me in this particular instance. Someone can arbitrarily say, Mayor Gilliam stole $10,000. So for 3 months, my name was slandered before court even ruled on anything. So that's problematic for me.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that anyone with an ounce of common sense would wait until the investigation is over and there was a ruling, and there was a ruling that's been made. And so I just think we need to get over this. Are there two Atlantic City Democrat committees?
No, there's only one Atlantic City Democrat committee. The Democrat committee that that Durwood Pinkett and others have basically claimed that the committee, it's not a legal committee. Joyce Molyneux is the chair of the Atlantic City Democratic Committee. She's been voted in. They have the executive board. And if anyone basically cares to follow bylaws, you read the bylaws and understand that no one could basically just recreate another committee without being voted in and without going through the chair. So that's the piece that I think confuses people. There's only one Atlantic City committee that's legal.
All right, Mayor Frank Gilliam is with us, Mayor of Atlantic City. You took a trip out to Las Vegas. There's been talk that maybe Atlantic City would be the pilot city for recreational, we even are calling it adult use of marijuana. Where do we stand with the legalization of marijuana in Atlantic City?
No one really knows in New Jersey as of yet what the governor's administration is going to do pertaining to the adult usage. As we saw a couple weeks ago, the governor has increased the amount of medicinal marijuana facilities in New Jersey. Again, when I went out there, I went out there with the purpose of trying to figure out if Atlantic City would be a good fit based on Vegas having pretty much some of the same elements, which was gaming naturally. But it was very interesting how Vegas rolled it out so quickly. But at the same time, they've basically been able to generate over $200 million in a short time period. And the other reason that I think that Atlantic City would be ideal for a pilot or one of the cities that should be chosen for adult usage is that, again, we are a playground, and people should be able to actually utilize the things that they like to do when they come to a playground. What's important for us as legislators and as part of administration is to figure out how you contain that. And my opinion is that you create an adult district that will allow those usages in certain bars, lounges, hotels, and things of that nature. but the governor has not basically made a decision if he's going to legalize it. But I believe that that's something that's forthcoming.
There are a lot of streetlights that are out. I don't know whose department that would be, but I don't even know if you're aware of it, Mayor. We want people to feel like they're safe as well.
On a more positive note about the streetlights, currently we're getting over 6,000 streetlights retrofitted to LED. And just possibly the areas where the streetlights are out, that's an area that they should be basically coming through and putting those lights, the new lighting in. However, if that's not the case, most street poles have a code on it. And if you basically see any lights out, you can basically go and look at that lamp post and look at that code, and you can call Public Works or you can call Atlantic Electric directly and inform them. But again, it's a plate that each street lamp or street pole has on it that identifies it. So therefore, when you call it in, make sure you have that code so we'll know exactly where that street lamp and light is out at. But I do agree with you. A lot of the city happens to be dark. And I think that with this new initiative that we're doing now, you can also see certain areas in Route 30 coming in to North Carolina Avenue. You can see other areas where they've basically retrofitted the lights. It has lit up the city immensely. But again, we have some areas in the city where lights are out, and we're looking forward to making sure those are the areas that those new LED lights end up going in, because it makes no sense to come and put a old Cobra in when we're basically slated to have a new form of lighting, which is LED, in those lamps.
And, you know, of course, you know, Atlantic City, it seems like whenever there's any crime issues, people say, hey, it's probably happening in Atlantic City. Have there been efforts during your administration to clean up crime? It's still a major issue for a lot of people.
You know what? It's interesting that that comes up. And it's primarily because of the high visibility of vagrants and the homeless. But when you look at the statistics, our police department is basically rating an A in every area possible. The key is to make sure that, one, we're basically putting boots on the ground so people can feel the presence of our officers in Atlantic City. I was fortunate enough to have a meeting with the chief of police along with his senior staff this week to discuss how we begin to deploy our officers to the point where we're seeing them visually walking. I like to take the model that Times Square used, and they still use. There's possibly two cops on every block. We can't afford that, but we can put two cops on every other block. So the key is to basically more or less continue to figure out ways to deploy officers to the point where we can see them walking. And public safety has always been a stigma of Atlantic City. I think now's the time to change that narrative, because we do have so many positive things going on in the city of Atlantic City. That comes with being able to market and have a PR plan that puts out the positivity and try to change the narrative on how people look at our market. We were fortunate enough, and again, this is probably one of the first times in the history of Atlantic City, we were fortunate enough to actually create and currently drafting a partnership with CRDA to utilize their PR and marketing as a branch or arm of the city. So we all know that there's things that we need to improve upon. The perception of Atlantic City, one, the reality of cleaning up, two, and we're slated to be doing those things as we speak.
Okay, do you have a question, please?
Yes, I do.
Okay, sure, go
Mayor,
ahead.
Mayor, Councilman George Tibbett has publicly accused you on more than one occasion of stealing 8 to 10 of his campaign checks. I'd like to know, he's also accusing you of being under investigation for working in concert with a Teller at TD Bank. if these allegations are true, Mayor, and George Tibbett is correct, that you stole 8 to 10 of his checks, will you resign from office?
All right, well, we thank you for the call. And I believe you've addressed this a million times, Mayor, but...
Yeah, I've addressed it 100 million times. This is very easy to basically resolve. Whenever someone, first and foremost, paper checks is one of the most traceable elements of money possible. And again, I'm sure that my elect report states that we have not taken any money from Mr. Tibbett. But I venture to ask the question, where are these 8 to 10 individuals that have given Mayor Gilliam a check for Mr. Tibbett? Where are these people? Because when you think about it, if someone gave, let's think about this, King Arthur. If you gave me a check for Frank, right, Frank Valeggi, you're going to at some point say, either Frank's going to say, I didn't receive the check, and then you're going to say to Frank Gilliam, Frank, where's those checks that I gave to you to give to Frank? Well, you hear no one coming out stating that they've given me checks for Mr. Tibbett. And more importantly, you've basically known that everyone has gone through my financial reports tooth and nail, and it doesn't display any checks in there for Mr. Tibbett. But what I will say to the public is that whenever we receive checks for Mr. Tibbett and any of my running mates, those checks were given to them, and they deposited in their own account. But to just arbitrarily say that, hey, I stole money from you and you don't produce the proof of that, it's the same thing with the $10,000 check, in my opinion. Just spewing out things with no facts. And again, my financial report is public record. You can go on and you can see all the checks that we've ever deposited, who contributed to our campaign. And oddly enough, I don't know. And the thing with this TD Bank thing, that all of a sudden TD Bank just allows Mayor Gilliam to go in there and cash anyone's check besides his own, is a bunch of malarkey. And it's a shame at this moment in time that we still have rogue people trying to continuously spew out negative perceptions of the city and trying to smear my name for the purpose of whatever, I don't know, because at the end of the day, let's say I could move the city in a different direction. I haven't been able to do anything, so most of these people are disgruntled because they didn't receive something from my winning. Mr. Tibbett was going around with the rumor that I was supposed to have hired him for my chief of staff, which I never promised him anything of that nature. But again, I've been taking the high road, and I'm going to continue to take the high road. I'm going to continue to do the work of the mayor and trying to improve the city. And at the end of the day, again, like I said, justice will prevail. I have no idea of any court or any FBI. FBI has never reached out to me. I have not gotten anything in writing. I have gotten nothing from the Attorney General's office. I've gotten nothing from the prosecutor. But what I did get in the mail was the Judge DeLory's decision on the $10,000 stating it was dismissed. So this other stuff that these folks are talking about, I have no idea what they're speaking about, nor am I concerned. I have a job to do, and that's what I'm going to do, is be the best mayor that I can be.